Okay, shalom to everybody. We're continuing the story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who is running away from the Romans. And on the way to his 13 years in the cave, he spends a short period in the yeshiva. And it says, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Gimel, Amud Bet, Kol yoma havit maiti lehudavitu rivta vechuza demaya vikarchi. Every day, Rav Shimon bar Yochai's wife would bring him and his son, and their son, bread, and kuza demaya, a small amount of water, and that's what they would eat. And Rav Kook is going to deal with a couple of questions which are raised here. Number one, the continuation of the story is that they're worried that the Romans might catch his wife and torture her, and she might reveal where they're hiding in the Beit Midrash, and that's why they eventually left to hide in the cave. But the question is, why does Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's wife have to be part of the story? If they're worried that they might catch her and torture her, we know today that in the Soviet Union and in Iran, one of the ways that they hold a person is that they threaten that they will torture their family. But if she doesn't know where they are, and somebody else can bring them the bread and the water, so that would at least partially solve the problem. Question number two, this idea of his wife coming to visit him every day to bring him food, that does not sound like a good family life. We know that halachically a man and wife have to spend time, even intimate time, together. So that also is a difficulty. Question number three, why does the Gemara mention that it was a small amount of water, a small jug of water? Say, she brought them bread and water. And question number four, if God is going to do them a miracle when they go out to the cave and miraculously grow a carob tree and reveal a spring of water that they lived off for 13 years, if God's going to do a miracle, why doesn't he just do the miracle already for them in the Beit Midrash? Why doesn't God make the carob tree grow in the yeshiva? And at the first stage, his wife is bringing him the water and the bread. Those are the four basic questions that we're going to deal with. I'll also foreshadow a drop. One of the questions that always bothered me, and from my experience, I know students have asked this a lot, when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to God on a regular basis, he separated himself from his wife. And also, when Am Yisrael, we were at the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, it says that they separated the men from the women for 3 days. Now, if Judaism is not Christianity, we do believe in the goodness of family life, in the holiness of family life. Chazal say in many places that a man without a woman is not a man, and that's actually the pshat, the literal meaning of the pasuk in Bereshit, where it says, "Vayikra et shemam Adam," and God called their names Adam, where it jumps from the plural to the singular. It should say, "And God called their names Adam and Eve," or if you want to talk in the singular, say, "And God called his name Adam." But the Torah teaches us right from the beginning that there is one unit called a man and wife. And if that is the Jewish ideal, and it's an obligation to get married, then if so, why do the really holy people like Moshe Rabbeinu, why are they separated from their wives? And that question always bothered me. And we're going to see that Rav Kook talks about it in three different places. So apparently it bothered Rav Kook as well. And he comes up with three different answers. Okay, so let's go on to the share screen and into Rav Kook. Here we go. Okay, so we saw the Gemara, again, that every day his wife would bring, he and Rabbi Shimon and his son, water, a small amount of water, and bread. Yeshna ma'amadim gedolim, paragraph Aleph, 1 Aleph. There are special standings, special situations, she'adam ha'gadol tzarich litalem behem, litalot bahem. There are certain situations that great people are meant to rise. Shehim machrichim oto liyot harbei parush michaye achevra v'amishpacha. There are certain people and certain periods in life where a person needs to separate himself from society and even from his family. And here Rav Kook is very clearly alluding to the time where a yeshiva boy is studying in yeshiva at the age of 18, 19, and 20. We all know that if he were to be married and he would have to support a wife and children, he would not be able to concentrate on his studies. And therefore, Chazal tell us that when a person is learning in yeshiva, it's better to learn in yeshiva. That should be what you have on your mind. And that is not a time, even though we do not believe in separating yourself from society, we do believe that the Torah and the rabbis are meant to be part of society, and that having a family is part of Torah life. Nevertheless, there is a time where we retreat temporarily from life in order to concentrate on Torah. Umichlal ha-chifetz shel bakashat ti'imat ha-na'ot ha-chushiyot. And including even the pleasant taste of the pleasant pleasures of the senses. Mipnei hasvea gdola shenafsho svea betuv haora Elohi shela chokhma vadea hatora. When a person is satisfied with the light of Torah, and he really isn't thinking about his food and other physical issues. Mikomakom gamzen nishkal beshekel ashkacha Elohit. Rav Kook is saying, don't talk in generalizations, because every situation is totally different, and every period of time is different, and even from one day to the next it could be different. And everything should be exact. It reminds me of, it was known, and I heard this from several different people, when people asked Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, Rav Kook's son, and the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz, when people asked him, yeshiva boys asked, when should I go to the army? How much should I learn in yeshiva before going to the army? And every single person got a totally different answer from Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook. Because obviously these are very subjective issues, and they have to be weighed exactly. For each person it's different, for every period of time it's different. Bechol perek kama yachas yenizkak liyot liish hagadol lahu im hachevra ve'im hachayim. And if so, Rav Kook is explaining that if God wanted Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to have this step-down period, where he's not going directly to the cave and removing himself totally from his family and from society, but he does spend a certain amount of time in the yeshiva, where his wife is coming to visit him once a day, then apparently that is what is needed. In other words, think exactly what is good. Not too much, not too little, and at different stages. Paragraph bet. Ukafi otam mida. And according to the amount of the measurement that a person needs to be connected to the outside and to the physical and to the family world, hamitzumtzemet lifamim ma'od. Sometimes it's very, very limited. Like Rabbi Shimon during his time in the cave. And also, the fact that his wife does come to see him every day. It doesn't say once a week. But it doesn't say three times a day. once a day. Mizdamnota sibot bekivun hanifla. And very often in life, the factors which bring about the situations seem seemingly unconnected. For example, in this case, the Romans. It was because of what Rabbi Shimon said against the Romans, who needs their bridges, who needs their marketplaces, that the Romans heard about it and put a death penalty on his head and he had to run away. That is what brought him to the yeshiva and eventually brought him to the cave. I often tell the story that my years in yeshiva were influenced by a totally outside factor, where I'd learned a half year in yeshiva and then another year in yeshiva. And to make a long story short, I met my wife, we got engaged. And I was planning on doing a short stint in the army as an Olei Chadash. But the army notified me that I came into Israel at the age of 17. And if so, I have to do 3 entire years of the army. And I tried all the protection, all the connections that I could, and nothing worked. You know, the army, they're very square. Everything goes just by the book. And they just kept saying, no, 3 years, you got to do 3 years, you got to do 3 years. And at that stage, it was a choice of doing 3 years or the Hesder program, where I would do a year and a half in the army and then spend another 2.5 years in yeshiva that I wasn't exactly planning on doing. And in the end, I ended up spending, the yeshiva asked the army to waive my second army period. So I ended up learning an additional 3.5, almost 4 years in yeshiva that I wasn't really planning on doing in the first place. And what I thought was a terrible situation, what am I going to do for 3 years? It turned out that it was an important turning point in my life, that basically I was able to sit in yeshiva for a lot longer than I was planning. And that's what Rav Kook is saying here regarding Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that sometimes it's outside factors like the Romans who sometimes remove you to a certain extent from society or from your family, that in the end, it's all for the best. V'otoa shiur hu anitzrach la'amid et ha-mishkal ha-nachon shel ha-it'alut al ha-chayim kedei la'achshiram. And everything is exact, like you said in the previous sentence. And but the amount that he wants his wife to come on every single day, and that he is not ready, and he is not interested, and it's not in his benefit at this stage to have supernatural miracles growing carob trees, all of this is meant to be. Paragraph Gimel. V'zeh ha-perek sh'aya ha-beit ha-midrash ha-makom ha-yechidi shel kinus kol ha-ora Elohit ha-gdola shel me'orim ha-lalu ha-kdoshim. At the time, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had not spent 12, 13 years in the cave, and he was able, like we learned last time, to start sharing his Torah with other people in the yeshiva. And that also is a good benefit that came out of this step-down period. Haya yachas shel atziruf im achayim day bitzdarfam l'chayei ha-mishpacha. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's connection, that basic minimal connection that he had with his family and also with other people in the yeshiva, v'ma shedvitu haita mevi'a lehem ha-ochel v'ha-mashkeh ha-muchrach, that his wife would every day bring them the necessary bread and water. Again, it was necessary, but it wasn't yet miraculous. Ve'ele chevra, and also he spent time with that rabbinic social friendship in the yeshiva. Bima shenagu midvarim shachevra enoshit he meshutefet ba'asiyatam. And that there is a positive aspect in sharing experiences that all of society is sharing. In other words, if you can manage living together with everyone, eating normal food, drinking normal water, living like a normal person, so that's good. On the other hand, everything is in the right measurement. Rivta vekuza demaya vekarchi. Now, like I said before, the idea, if we look at the questions that we asked before, why, if Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is worried later in the Gemara that the Romans are going to catch and torture his wife and tell him, and tell them, she will tell them where he's hiding, so why doesn't he just not tell his wife and have somebody else bring him the water? We now understand. Rav Kook is explaining that it is necessary to have that connection with his wife. And even if it's not an intimate connection, it is important for him. The amount of water and the amount of bread, again, Rav Kook explained, it's all figured out, not too much, not too little, different times, different places, and here it's different than what he did in the cave. And also, regarding the fourth question of why did God not yet do the miracle of the Caribs and the spring, again, there is a benefit, davka, in living a normal life, unless you need to do otherwise. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we all know, separated himself from Tzipporah, his wife, and Aaron and Miriam were very upset. Why are you separating yourself from your wife? And what strengthens the question even more, like we said before, we're not Catholics. We don't believe in poverty, chastity, and obedience. We believe it's good, and it's holy, and it's an obligation to get married, or to try and get married. And even if so, so why is Moshe told to separate himself from his family? And why is Am Yisrael told to separate themselves from their family when they prepare to receive the Torah at Mount Sinai? So the Gemara Masechet Shabbat, in source number 2, Daf Pei Zayin, tells us as follows. Ditanya, Shlosha Dvarim Asa Moshe Mida'ato, Veiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Rosh Gadol. He thought of three things on his own, three ideas that he initiated, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him. And as we'll see, one of them is separating from their families. What are the three? Hosif yom echad mida'ato. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said, prepare yourself for 3 days to prepare yourself for the giving of the Torah. And Moshe added on a fourth day. Upiresh minaisha, and he separated from his wife. Vishavar et aluchot, and he broke the tablets. God didn't tell him to break the tablets. God didn't tell him to separate from his wife either. Where do we know this idea? Where did Moshe get this idea of separating from his family? Upiresh minaisha maidarish. Where did Moshe get the idea from? Nasakal v'chomer beatzmo. Amar Uma Yisrael Shelo Dibra Shechina Imahen El Sha'achat V'Kavalem Zman. Even Am Yisrael, which saw and heard God only once, and they knew ahead of time it was only going to be once, and they knew what time and what date, Amrat Torah Vayu Nichonim Al Dikshu Elisha, they were told ahead of time to prep, to prepare for that time and date, separate yourselves from your families for 3 days. Ani shekol sha'a v'sha'a shechina medaberet imi. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I, who God speaks to me all the time. And it's not, he doesn't tell me ahead of time. All of a sudden he comes and appears to me. And it's on a daily basis. Ve'no kovei li zman alachat kama v'kama, how much more so that I should separate myself from my family. In other words, if the nation of Israel was told to do it, Moshe says, so I should do it. Uminala diskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu ayado. And how do we know that God agreed with this initiative? As it says, lech emor lehem shuvu lachem lo alechem. Because after the giving of the Torah, Hashem tells Moshe to tell the people of Israel, return to your families, return to your tents. Uchti batrei vata po amori madi. But you, Moshe, you stay with me. In other words, God was in favor of this separation. And again, the question is why? What we see from here is the most simple explanation is not to distract. When a person is on a very special level, remember, Moshe was not just another leader. He was a one-time-in-history leader. The Rambam writes that one of the 13 principles of faith is that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level than any other prophet who ever lived. And if so, if we were talking about how yeshiva boys should have their time not to be distracted, where they're not running here, not running there, they don't have to worry about doing their laundry or cooking, they can concentrate full-time on their Torah studies. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a once-in-a-history figure. He also has to take into account that problem of distractions. That is the first and most basic explanation. Rav Kook adds in Source 3, this is from Ein Ayah on Masechet Shabbat, Perek Bet, Siman, page Kufayin Dalid, Siman Lamed Bet. Uparash min Aisha, im kol haromemut sheyesh beruach ha'adam begodlo v'taharo, together with a person's greatness and purity, harehu asur b'ma'asar pratiyuto, he also has his individual personal life. Everyone has a personal life. A communal rabbi has a personal life. The prime minister, everybody knows about his relationship with Sara Netanyahu. And Donald Trump, even he had a personal life. Everyone has a personal life. But the problem is that to a certain extent, your personal life comes at the expense of the klali life, of your giving yourself totally over to the nation of Israel. And in this situation, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is, if we were to think of a figure, who is the most klali, the most Am Yisrael figure in history, it was Moshe Rabbeinu, he really was not living a normal life. He was not a normal person. When somebody speaks to God all the time, it's not just a matter of distractions. He has to be in a klali mindset. Not to think of myself, my family, my needs, my wife, my livelihood. And the truth is that's one of the reasons why the king of Israel has to be wealthy. And even the head of the Sanhedrin has to be wealthy. Why? The Talmud says, even if he's not wealthy, the people have to give him a lot of money so that he will be wealthy. So that he does not have to think about the smallness. Not just that he's not distracted with his livelihood and family, but that he should think of big things. The nation, godliness, spirituality, and not live a life of smallness. Let's jump down to paragraph bet of 3 bet. Omnam. De'azu ledat HaKadosh Baruch Hu himaskima. God agreed with this idea. Ro'en Eman. Moshe Rabbeinu is called the loyal shepherd. Again, he is the shepherd of the flock of Israel. He cannot have his mind on small things. He has to think of the nation. Eino yachol liyot gam me'at kat muzgar b'mizger mitzamtzemet et ha'pratiyut shelo. Somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu should not at all be limited to a small, self-centered framework. Afilu mitzad ez magativi, even if it's a natural need, and it's good, and it's holy to have family life. In a case like Moshe Rabbeinu, it's an exception. Ve'olamo olam Hashemu, his life is the life of God. Olam klali, it is the life of greatness, the nation, the ideal. Kulo kodesh, holiness. Avalomi makor dat elyon. But this was not God's idea. Notice what Rav Kook is saying. Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, he needed it. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai needed that separation to a certain extent. But this was not God's idea l'chatchila. Hashem didn't tell him, separate yourself from your wife and your family. It's just after Moshe initiated it and he says, I need it, Hashem b'dieved agreed with it. A similar idea is found in... running out of time. Let us jump to the end of source of paragraph 4. The end of source number 4, where Rav Kook writes, G'dula miyuchedet zu, misaleket v'salka et ha'erech ha'mini legamre miyesoda idealiut asher l'neshama, v'totzaota hi ha'uvda shepiresh min ha'isha. Moshe Rabbeinu really did not need a wife and family. And again, he's not normal. That is not the normal person. That's not even the ideal person. Nevertheless, if we try and understand where he was at, Moshe Rabbeinu was independent. He managed without a wife, without his family. And that is another aspect. So in the meantime, we've spoken about the problem of distractions. We've spoken about getting into the mindset of klaliut, of greatness, not thinking of yourself and your individual unit. And point number 3, to be totally independent. Source number 6. Rav Kook talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to God, italut shel aspaklaria mi'ira, that Moshe spoke to God with the clear, super clear glass. He, as if it were, saw a lot more clearly than other prophets. Jump down to the middle of the paragraph. Umikom makom, where I'm underlining, mikom makom, yesh hevdel ben ota ora uven midat ziyara ila da adam arishon bazeh. With all due respect to Moshe Rabbeinu, he is not on the level of Adam. Adam HaRishon, Adam, was more perfect than Moshe. Shemitzvarak asbaklaria mira gufanit nisharak tzat b'ma'amada. Umimachzito lemata nikra'ish. Moshe Rabbeinu was still called a man. And therefore, to a certain extent, he needed to separate himself from his family to reach to a higher godly level. But that is not the ideal person. Adam HaRishon davka lived with Chava. Hashem tells him, Lo tov heyot Adam levado. It's not good for man to be alone without his wife. And if so, according to Kabbalistic sources, Adam is on a higher level than Moshe Rabbeinu. And if so, it was because of a shortcoming in Moshe that he needed to separate himself from his family and from his wife. But that is not the ideal in by Adam HaRishon. Rav Kook goes down, skip down to source 7, and he says something elsewhere in Shmone Kvatzim, in Kovetz Chet, Se'if Kuf Nun Zayin, comparing Moshe and the Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu Kolelu Kol Nishamot Yisrael Mitzada Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu symbolizes the utmost in Torah and the souls of Israel from a Torah point of view, from a knowledge point of view. Mashiach, on the other hand, who kolel otam mitzad atzman, mitzad machshavatan shel Yisrael. Mashiach, to a certain extent, not regarding Torah, Moshe is on a higher level than the Mashiach. But regarding Am Yisrael, regarding the nation of Israel, and general spirituality, the Kabbalistic sources say that Mashiach is on a higher level than Moshe. Mashiach is going to be married, and is going to have a family life. And Rav Kook goes on even to say that Mashiach is from the descendants of Lot and his daughter, from Ruta Moaviah. As a matter of fact, it was an incestual relationship. And also Yehudah and Tamar had an incestual relationship. And David and Bathsheba also had a problematic relationship. And if so, the Mashiach who comes from all of these problematic relationships, he, Davka, comes out on a higher level than Moshe Rabbeinu. And if so, the chutzpah that is part of Ikvita de Mashiach, Rav Kook says, that is the chutzpah of the Mashiach. Mashiach is part of this world. Mashiach is a warrior. He is a politician. He has a wife and children, and he is part of society. And to a certain extent, he is on a higher level than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the epitome of anava, of humility. And that really is necessary for Torah. To learn Torah, you need humility, to be open, to learn from everybody, open to new ideas, to accept truth, whether it's convenient or not convenient. That's the darga of the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Mashiach, he is a political leader. He needs chutzpah. And just like in the 1948 war, were it not for the chutzpah, we wouldn't have declared the state. And were it not for the chutzpah Yisraelit in the Six-Day War, we also might not have been around today to talk about it. The Mashiach needs to be more of a part of this world. And that is the ideal person. So whether the ideal person was Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden, who was married, or Mashiach in the end of days, who is also going to be married, they are both, according to Kabbalistic sources, on a higher level than Moshe Rabbeinu, who his greatness was on the topic of Torah. And on the topic of Torah, that having a wife and having a family, there it's more problematic. So if so, Rav Kook has explained, on the one hand, why Moshe Rabbeinu and Am Yisrael in certain specific rare situations were told to separate themselves from society and from their families. That definitely is not the ideal. Nevertheless, there is a time for yeshiva boys to be totally immersed in their Torah. And also in terms of family life, everybody has to know, and women have to know, that their partners and their husbands Torah study. And the more they let their husband study Torah and are free from different family obligations regarding Torah, that has to be the approach. Regarding marriage, yes or no? The answer is very clearly yes. That is part of the complete Jew. Ad kan.